Hello, my friend. We are here for another episode of Readings and Reflections with Sly Flourish. Today's article is Alternative Standard Arrays for 5e Ability Scores. This article was published on 1 January 2024. Happy New Year, by the way. I hope you are having a good New Year so far, and I'm really excited for the year that we are going to have ahead in the world of tabletop role-playing games. It's going to be a wild year, and I'm really excited for it. Here's an easy house rule to help players more easily select ability scores when building characters in 5e games. Instead of using a mixture of point-by systems and either racial or background-based ability bonuses, suggest the two following standard arrays, applying them to the player's abilities of choice. These standard arrays already include any potential racial or background bonuses. 16 plus 3, 14 plus 2, 14 plus 2, 12 plus 1, 12 plus 1, and 8 minus 1. That's 16, 14, 14, 12, 12, 8. Or 16 plus 3, 14 plus 2, 14 plus 2, 12 plus 1, 10 plus 0, and 10 plus 0. Or 16, 14, 14, 12, 10, 10. These standard arrays work for whatever flavor of 5e you happen to be playing, including the 2014 D&D Player's Handbook, Tales of the Valiant, or Level Up Advanced 5e. Each of these 5e variants has their own ways to handle ability scores and bonuses, but they're all close enough to these standard arrays that any differences don't really matter. Experienced players who want to get into the weeds can use ability point by rules of your chosen 5e flavor and apply additional bonuses based on whatever ability bonus points the system provides. New players, and players who want to just get on with their adventures, may find these all-in standard arrays much easier to understand and apply without needing to worry about any complex point-by systems and ability bonuses from other parts of character creation. Add these standard arrays to your Session Zero guide to help players more quickly build their characters. So this is a very short article. I like articles like this where we find one thing and we try it out. And I came to this because I had some new players who were building characters for the first time. So they'd already played. They'd used pre-gen characters, which often have, of course, standard ability scores already applied. But they were starting to build their own characters. And I tell you, like, when you start to see what the ability score systems are like as a new player, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why are we taking the ability bonuses and using them from other things? Like, you all, like, the ability bonuses and ability scores, and this is speaking for 5e, we can talk about like what it is in Shadow Dark and something like that, but particularly talking about systems like 5e and systems that are similar to 5e, is that there's a right answer. It's not really great when you offer choices in an RPG and really there's a right answer. Oh, well, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done that. And one of them is ability scores. Like, no one wants to play a fighter who has a 12 strength and like a 10 dex, right? They want to put their best ability score in their best slot. And now some groups really like to roll for ability bonuses. And if you're one of the ones that like to roll for ability bonuses, then go with the gods. That's completely up to you. I don't. And I don't like to roll for ability bonuses in 5e, or ability scores in 5e, because they last like your whole career. Like, you could have long campaigns and you're just at a disadvantage compared to other characters. Like, some characters are going to roll really well and some are going to roll really poorly. And why? Like, why? It was just bad luck at that one moment and it's permanent. Like, I'm all for rolling d20s and everything else during the game and using randomness to help drive the story. But when you're using randomness at one spot that just matters for the whole game, it's not fun. Like, I don't think it's fun. I think if you're a character and you just got really lucky and got really good scores, you're like, that's great, but now I'm totally overpowered in so many different things. And another player is like, yeah, I got a 14 as my highest score, and I suck at kind of everything. That's not great. Now, it's different in Shadow Dark. We'll take a little segue here and talk about Shadow Dark. So Shadow Dark RPG is a new RPG. If you haven't heard about it, check it out. Shadow Dark RPG. Google it and you'll find it. It's really, really good. And I've been running a lot of games in Shadow Dark. And Shadow Dark has a roll for your abilities and roll, I think it's 3d6 down the line. And you don't get to apply them to whatever ability you want. They are whatever, you roll 3d6 for strength, you roll 3d6 for dex, and that's what you get, which is actually fits the entire rest of how Shadow Dark works. And I think it actually works really well there for a few reasons. One is characters are very ephemeral in Shadow Dark. They die. They die a lot. They die often. And then you're rolling a new character. The other one is that All of the monsters and all of the math for the rest of the game assumes that your characters don't have fantastic ability scores. So it doesn't assume that you have like a +3 bonus in your top ability and a +2 bonus. And like all the other math is built around that. In Shadow Dark, like the armor class of monsters is pretty low, and your ability to, you know, the DC ladder is very low. The difficulty spread for Shadow Dark is 9, 12, 15, and 18. 9 for easy, 12 for normal, hard is 15, and 18 is hard. And that's because the math is all much flatter in Shadow Dark. So because your characters are more ephemeral, and because the overall math of the game is also much more subdued, and that the rolls on your attack rolls and everything matter way more. There's no proficiency bonus in Shadow Dark. There's no curve at all for progression of your mathematical bonuses in Shadow Dark. And that works. The other one is that every element of Shadow Dark is way more random than that is in 5e, which means the random, even having a random class kind of fits the style of Shadow Dark. Like you don't even really get to pick the class you're going to play. You roll your abilities first, and then from your abilities, you say, okay, well, I guess I rolled high in this ability, so I'm going to be this class. And that kind of fits the style because the whole game is very random. So that to me works very well for Shadow Dark, but I don't think it works well for 5e. And for 5e, it feels like there's a right answer. And I think a lot of players, I don't know, there's a lot of players who roll for ability scores, but a lot of people are using Point Buy or a similar system. But my God, like trying to explain to a new player what Point Buy, how it works, and how like every point, the cost of the points escalate. And of course, there's a whole bunch of online tools that you can do ability bonuses. But then like even D&D Beyond with like, well, if you have the flexible racial bonus so that you can move it where you want. I was playing Baldur's Gate 3, which has it in there. And it's still confusing about like, you know, I guess I have to make sure to put my bonus in the right one so that I can get it a little bit higher than if I move the bonus to a different one. Because you have multiple ways that you get the bonuses, right? You have your standard bonuses that you get from like a point buy system, and then you get these racial ability bonuses, but they're not really racial ability bonuses since Tasha's and then Baldur's Gate, because you can move which abilities they are applied to. What a headache, right? That's such a headache. Now, the best 5e variant that I have seen so far that handles this is Tales of the Valiant and Black Flag. Black Flag is the reference document. Because they recognize that dice rolling is one way that you're going to do it, they still have the point buy system and then apply additional modifiers. But the additional modifiers, you just get to put them wherever you want. So they're not tied to things like backgrounds. They're not tied to your species or your ancestry or any other element of your character. You just, when you're working on your ability bonuses, one of the things you do is you roll 4d6, take the lowest die and throw it out, and then add up the remaining three, and then put that down where you want them in your ability bonuses. You do that five times until you have, or you do that six times until you have all of your abilities wherever you want them. Then you get to add two to one of them and one to another one. And you can only add two to one that's 16 or below and add one to one that's 17 or below. You can't start with anything higher than an 18. Now, even that's a little complicated, but the reason why it's complicated is because they want to offer up both a point buy system and a standard array, and their standard array is actually slightly better than the one I offer. So one of the things in Tales of the Valiant and in Black Flag, again, being their open reference document for Tales of the Valiant, there's a standard array, and it's 16, 14, 14, 13, 10, 8. So if you know mine was 13, 16, 14, 14, 12, 10, 8, you actually get half a point bonus when you use Black Flag, but it's close enough to matter. That is by far the easiest one I've seen in any published RPG is, you know, here's your standard array. It's all done. All the math is wired in 16, 14, 14, 13, 10, 8, and you're done. And I like that. And what I like about it is it gives you a nice spread. It gives you one that you're really good at, a couple that you're pretty good at, one that you're okay at, and a couple, one that you're kind of at, and one that you're like, oh, I'm not really good at that. So it makes a nice curve for the character, an interesting roleplay curve for the character. And I think that that really works. That really works well. Level Up Advanced 5e handles it pretty much the same way that the 2014 D&D Player's Handbook handles it, which is there's a standard array, and the standard array I think is the same. 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, 8 is the standard array. When you pick your background, like acolyte or charlatan or cultist or exile or folk hero or guild member or Marauder, that's where you get an additional ability score. And it's almost always a plus one in one ability score that's particular, and then plus one that you can move anywhere else. So there's a slightly lower, they actually, their ability scores are, again, like a half a point, they're 1 point of the score lower than you would get with commonly with like 2014 Player's Handbook, or I think with Tales of the Valiant as well, but that you know, it really doesn't matter. So mine is like, I want the game to be as easy as possible, and I don't, for new players and for players who are just like, I don't care, I just want to play D&D. I don't want the system to be complicated, and I feel like making players go through all of these steps in order to just figure out what their core ability bonuses are really isn't that necessary, which is why I think that having a standard ability score of 16, 14, 14, 12, 12, 8, or 16, 14, 14, 12, 10, 10. I think it's just easier. And you just pick them and you put them in the right spot and you go and off you go to the races. So that's where this article was coming from. I have used it in my own games. I have found that it definitely simplifies things for people. I put it in my session zero notes that this is how we're going to do ability scores. And you could just pick this and be done and never have to mess around with anything else. And some choose it. And then if you have players that want to nitpick and do all sorts of monkeying around with it, they can do that. That's fine. But for players who are like, look, don't just make my life easy. Get me involved. Give me my bonuses. 3-2-2-1-1-0-1 or 3-2-2-1-0-0. And I can put those in my things and off I go to the races. So I hope you enjoyed today's talk. I hope you enjoyed this article. Again, you know, the article itself, if you ever want to look at a reference, it of course is on slyflourish.com. That's where you can find it. And I want to thank you very much and wish you a happy new year. So this is fantastic. I'm really excited for the year to come. I think we've got lots and lots of really cool stuff happening in the world of tabletop role-playing games, and I'm very excited for it. So I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much and have a great day. Bye-bye.